podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses. Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Tommy Lugauer, Lugie, it is after hours here on The Fan. Got you till midnight. Plenty of time to take your calls. Yankees, Mets, trade deadline rapidly approaching. The All-Star break is next week. So looking ahead to next week, we are going to bring back some popular segments here on After Hours. We're also going to mix in a few new segments here on After Hours. Ask Tommy Anything. That will be one of the nights next week. If you have an STD and you'd like to share, of course, by STD, I mean settle the debate. So if you have a debate that you need me to settle. Ray's never heard that one before, so I always catch the new producers with that one. The other producers, they already know my jokes, so they already hear them. They kind of like, Ray never heard that one before. Yeah, by STD, we mean settle the debate, which is, so if you have a debate that you need me to settle, you will present it to me, and then we will do our best here on After Hours to settle the debate. And I'm also going to come up with, at some point over the weekend, some brand new, fresh segments that we will pepper in during All-Star break, and we'll obviously be talking baseball. We're going to mix in some football for sure, as training camp is the end of the month. So football is basically back at this point. Basketball, if we get any news. So it's going to be a fun week. We'll do a little bit of basketball later on the show. If you always want to mix in football, I'm never going to tell you not to call in, but we'll really dive into it next week as far as, because I keep hearing these promos, great promos, but I heard a new one today about my show. It's awesome. But I keep hearing these promos that air on our station about what are your expectations for the Giants, which clearly they're listening to my show because I have giant expectations for next year. And then they have one running for the Jets, and it's, will the Jets take the next step? It's like, the next step? What, off the cliff? What's the next step for the Jets? Into the ocean? I'm not really sure what the next step is for the Jets, except for losing basically every one of their games and getting the number one overall pick. But we'll do deeper dives into Giants, Jets, and really football across the board, because I know there's a lot of fans out there in the audience that, number one, as football fans, we like our, not that we like all the teams, but like we have fantasy, we have gambling. If it's Sunday Night Football, it doesn't matter who's playing, we're going to be locked in. Football, just you care more about the entire sport than we do with the other sports, where we more just focus on our team. And I know there's a lot of fans in the audience that root for the Cowboys. I mean, you can find a Cowboy fan everywhere. I mean, really, literally. You can go to Mordor, Tatooine, or wherever. You can go to Taylor Swift's wedding. I'm sure there were plenty of Cowboy fans there. By the way, with Taylor Swift and that wedding at MSG, you know, the wedding that I remember at MSG was, what year was it? It was SummerSlam match made in heaven. I'll get it for you. SummerSlam 91 at the Garden. One of the great SummerSlams of all time. Awesome match. Mr. Perfect. Bret the Hitman Hart for the Intercontinental title. You had Virgil winning the Million Dollar Championship over the Million Dollar Man. But you also had the double main event, which was the match made in hell. Tag team match of Hogan and Warrior versus Sergeant Slaughter and the Iron Sheik. They call them something different than a Colonel Mustafa or something like that, but it was the Iron Sheik. And Sid Vicious was the special guest referee. That was the match made in hell. And then the match made in heaven was Macho Man getting married to Elizabeth.
Oh, yeah, Elizabeth, will you marry me?
And that was the wedding that I remember at the Garden. And it was back in the wrestling days, because now every wedding since then on wrestling, somebody's got to have a cake thrown in their face, or somebody's got to turn on somebody, or somebody's got to marry somebody else that wasn't at the wedding, and it becomes Jerry Springer. But back then, literally, Macho Man just got married to Elizabeth.
Yeah.
And I think it was literally closed the show.
Will you marry me? Yeah.
What a great, that was one of the great shows. What a perfect match made in heaven, match made in hell. But that's what I think of with weddings at MSG. But apparently this Taylor Swift and Kelsey got married there over the weekend. Thankfully, this happened way after I got married. Because I bleep you not, my wife and I, not all of them, but she did some without me, but we must have checked out 30 to 40 wedding venues. I'm not kidding. I'm like, listen, I know we're hungry and they give us free food at this stuff, but how many venues do we have to see? Well, I want to find the perfect one. I'm like, listen, they're all going to charge us 80 grand. For the, I mean, so to me, I keep asking what the bill's going to be, and it sounds like it's the same. So I really just pick one, spin the wheel, and pick one. But if she knew the garden was apparently in play, we would have had to go check out the garden as a potential wedding venue. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Like I said, the trade deadline is August 3rd, which, according to my calculation, is a few weeks away. Let's head out to Freddie in Manhattan. What's up, Freddie?
Hey, Tommy Luga. Hey. He's number one to me.
Yeah.
Thank you for taking my call. Listen,
yeah, of course.
One thing people don't realize, I want you to listen to this carefully, because I think I may be right on this, but I want your opinion, of course. Since there may be a walk-off, no baseball next year, the Yankees should take advantage. Since we all believe they're going to make the World Series, like you say, I do believe that. If they get scruples or
Scooble?
Pirate pitcher? The other one.
Scooble is more of the technical name for it. Scooble, or as you said, the other one. But Skeens is not getting traded. He's under team control until 2029. So the Pirates are not trading him.
But could you imagine Scruples, Max Fried, Schittler, and Cole, and then this is
some of these people seem made up, but yeah. So Schittler, you're talking about, and then you're talking about Fried. But here's the thing with Scooble: the Yankees don't need him. They already have three strong starting pitchers. I don't think it's wise.
He'll probably guarantee the World Series.
No, you're not.
Next year there's not going to be one.
Well, how do you know there's not going to be a season? Do you know something? I don't know. I think there's going to be a baseball season next year.
Well, everybody's saying this, not me.
Yeah, but everybody, who's everybody? Everybody's saying everything. I mean, I don't listen. Don't listen to everybody. Listen to me. And I'm telling you, there's going to be baseball this year.
In case there's no baseball, see, these people could guarantee, scruple with all the rest of the good pitchers.
Yeah, but even then, there's still baseball the year after. You know what I mean?
It's true.
I mean, you can't act like there's going to be baseball next year, number one. Number two, the Yankees don't need a starting pitcher. Skeens is not going anywhere. He's under control by the Pirates, like I said, till 2029. Scooble will be on the move, although the Tigers are starting to play good baseball, and they're only a couple games back in their horrible division, so it's possible that Scooble stays put because Detroit has an opportunity to make it to October.
True, but if they don't, they should get him because they'll have the best pitching staff in baseball.
Yeah, but what are they going to do about their offense? I don't want to give up a ton of assets when I have other needs. I have bullpen needs, I have catcher needs, I have infield needs. Starting pitcher, they're strong at, especially once they get Fried back.
Yeah, you mean like since they need the catcher and the third baseman and Volpe and all.
Right.
I think like you say, Volpe and Wells should leave already. Let's just get them out.
Well, yeah, I would either send I said DFA yesterday. If you want to send him down to the minors, either way. I just don't think they should be up here with the big league team because they're just not major leaguers at this point, especially Wells. He's having the worst season, Freddie, that I've ever seen as far as any baseball player in history.
So you're saying they should not get scrupled no matter what?
I wouldn't. You know what, Freddie? I don't think they're going to.
Oh, I see.
But I will say this, Freddie. This is what I will say to you, my friend. Your opinion and your feeling on this, you're not the first person that has presented this to me. So you are not alone in this thought process. Perhaps I am. I might be on the island here as the man on the island with the volleyball, and you might be the one, you know, hanging out at the beach party without me here on another island, because I think there's a lot of people on your beach and less people on mine.
Yeah, but I don't mean to interrupt you, but I feel that if they get him, they'll surely win the World Series. That's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, that's just the problem with that, though, is, Freddie, that's just more based on opinion than it is fact. Obviously, if you told me, hey, they traded for Scooble and it automatically means they win the World Series, then of course you do it. But I don't think it's a guarantee that you win it with him. And I just think you're trading, which you already have a strength in your starting rotation. And there's just a lot of other holes on this team that I would address.
Yeah, but Rodan and Weathers and Warren, they don't really got it.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, listen, if you could get a cheaper starting pitcher to be your fourth starter, so get a guy on the cheap, then I would do that. But you're going to have to pay a pretty penny for Scooble, again, assuming the Tigers deal him because they are starting to make a push here for their division.
How much would the Yankees have to pay him?
Well, that would be in the offseason, and that's really up to Scooble and Boris and everybody else involved. My gut is if the Yankees trade for him, it would be a Soto type of deal where it would be a rental. They would not be signing him in the offseason. Plus, who knows what's going to be?
Never do this?
What'd you want to do?
Let's say, how about if they got Soto for Judge, the Mets and Yankees?
You want to trade Soto for Judge? Yeah.
No?
You want to do that?
Well, I feel that for some reason it may work out. You don't think? Well, maybe.
Would it work out for both teams? So you say, all right, let's play it out here. So you're your Brian Cashman or even David Stearns. Who makes that first call, though? Who's the guy that sort of initiates that date? Is it Stearns or Cashman in your mind?
Well, I would say Cashman because I believe this fella's always injured, Aaron Judge.
Aaron Judge certainly has had his injury history, but he's been healthy a lot, too. He's won multiple MVPs. True. He's one of the best players in the sport.
But I think the Mets would do well with him. I don't know how I feel it. I think the Mets would do well with Judge.
What if they came to an agreement, the Mets and Yankees, where they would do, and I pitched this a couple of years ago, but what if we did something where it was like joint custody, where Aaron Judge would play for both teams and Juan Soto would play for both teams? How do you like that?
Oh, you saying that could be done?
Yeah. I'd have to call Rob Manfred, which I've bothered him a lot this year, but I got his phone number. I'll just give him a call and I said, hey, I got this great idea. Joint custody, Aaron Judge and Juan Soto would play for both the Yankees and the Mets.
Yeah, do it. I'd like to see that.
And you know what is funny? I just have to work through some of the logistics, meaning what days does, it's like it's a divorce. You got to go through the custody battle. Like, so what days would Aaron Judge be on the Mets? What days would Soto be on the Yankees?
Well, I've never heard of that.
The reason you haven't heard of it, Freddie, is because there's been nobody like me ever on this planet. And there's nobody with my sort of bandwidth. Does that make sense?
Well, you're the generation of
power. Of course. Thank you. Yeah, well, we got Freddie. You know what, Freddie?
That's why I say you're number one.
You got a great laugh, my friend. And if we ever meet in person, I'd love to go out for a cappuccino with you, maybe go see a flick, something like that.
Yeah, most definitely.
You seem like a nice fellow.
Guess what? I'm retired after 46 years working in a building.
Well, when did you retire? This year?
Yeah, I retired July 2nd.
Congratulations.
And I love the retirement because I feel so free now.
Yeah, I was going to ask you that. How is, because I'm like you, Freddie. There's a lot of people in my business. I don't know about your business. There's a lot of people in my business that don't retire. They basically get forced out. But it's they retired, quotes. Just people don't want to leave the business. I'm one of those people that can't wait to be retired. I can't. Are you kidding me? I don't have to work.
You know what? You know what's good about retirement?
Yeah.
You don't have to do the grind anymore.
Right. You don't have to commute.
And get dressed and go and hurry.
Yeah, who wants to get dressed? I want to be naked all the time. I don't want to get dressed. Well, maybe not naked, but at least in my underwear. Yeah.
No, we got to get together soon. Yeah. You know, having like a beer or coffee or something.
Beer or cappuccino, something like that. And Freddie, God bless you. Congratulations on a well-deserved retirement. But yeah, this industry, nobody wants.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops. And neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's retire. Now, I don't know. Maybe I'll feel differently at the end, but I just... And maybe get bored. But then, with your wife, you think of somebody else. It's natural. That's easy. Got a big Rolodex. Think of Hillary Duff or something. I don't know. Yeah, it's fine. What's the difference? No, but in all seriousness... Congratulations. It is definitely a huge accomplishment. You retire. Now you got, and I think you were a Yankee fan, Freddie. I couldn't tell, actually, halfway through that conversation, if you were a Met fan or a Yankee fan. Either way, it sounds like you were a baseball fan. But I pitched that with Juan Soto in the offseason when he was a free agent, the joint custody theory, the Juan Soto split. But perhaps maybe the Yankees and Mets can get together and they can share Aaron Judge and Juan Soto. Somebody in their car right now saying I ruined the radio station. You can laugh a little bit. It's okay. It's not that serious. It really isn't. I promise you. It's more of just a satirical part of the show. It's all good. It's obviously not going to happen. We're just having a little fun there with Freddie. Seems like a nice man. And I said, if I ever meet him, we go out for a little cappuccino. A little espresso shot. By the way, I always used to say it wrong, and my Italian grandparents would probably have me removed, but I say it wrong. It's espresso, I think, or it's espresso. Either way, whichever one it is, for years I was saying it wrong. Just like I was saying dungaroos instead of dunkaroos. Nobody corrected me. All these years I'm saying dungaroos, it's dunkaroos. Which actually makes sense because you dunk the roo. So actually that does make sense. I don't know why I call it dungaroos all those years. Anywho, let's go out to Mike in New Haven, Connecticut here on After Hours. What's up, Mike?
What's up, Tommy? How are you doing?
Hey, what's happening?
Can you hear me all right?
Yes, we're all good.
So... I want to see what your thought on this is. I was calling today because I've reached a point in my New York like sports watching fandom where I'm sick of the narrative that is a poor postseason player.
Judge, you said?
Whether it's true or not.
You broke up there. You said Aaron
Judge.
Got it.
Oh, yeah, it was Judge. Whether it's true or not, I'm sick of hearing it. Because being honest, I'm like, don't know. I want to know what you think for a moment. Talk
that,
about it.
As far as it being a narrative, as far as it being a repetitive narrative, or the fact that it's true or not.
Either one.
Okay.
Whatever you feel like talking about.
Okay. I for one do think it's true, but I also think he's in a really difficult spot because he is a Yankee, and we all know how many championships the Yankees have won. He's also a top two, if not the best player in the sport on any given day. So there's that added sort of pressure. Plus, it's New York, the media scrutiny. The Yankees haven't won a championship in a while. So I think it's one of those like perfect storms that kind of follow him. And that's why it becomes this sort of larger-than-life narrative where the Yankee, and I call struggles, but obviously, you know, for their standards, the struggles that they've had in the Aaron Judge era, it kind of gets put on his lap because of his greatness.
Yeah, like, the reason I brought this up was I was listening to the end of C-Mac's show, and somebody was talking about, they were still going on about Judge dropping the ball in Game 5 of the World Series.
Okay.
And I'm sitting here, I'm like, all right, yes, that happened.
Yeah.
But also, it was Game 5, they're down 3-1. A lot of stuff could have happened the rest of that series. The fact that that's where everybody says everything went wrong, yes, in Game 5, maybe, but, like, so much had to have happened. They probably could have won that game, then lost in Game 6.
Of course. Like, I mean, really, in a lot of ways, that series...
It's one of those things where I'm like, why are we blaming him?
Yeah, I think it's either... Was it more of a blame, or was it somebody just poking fun at him? That conversation.
It was blame.
Blame, okay.
It was more blame.
So for me, the blame is Boone in that World Series. I mean, that decision in Game 1 completely flipped the entire series. And by the time they got to the Judge... And by the way, that wasn't the only mistake in that game. Garrett Cole didn't cover first base. There were a lot of things that led to that loss. And there
I remember.
A lot of things that led to that series loss. But I go back to what I said. When you are Aaron Judge and you are his stature in terms of talent, you're going to be under that microscope. And people, whether it's haters or even just fans... are going to look to criticize when they come up small in big moments.
And then, like, one other thing, this is, like, a smaller thing, but I was looking back on it, and I remember this. When the Yankees were in the ALDS last year, and he hit that game-tying home run in Game 3 against the Blue Jays, the fact that Joe Davis on the air says that's his moment, I think is really insulting to Judge, at least, no matter how good or bad he's been in the postseason. I can think of three bigger moments off the top of my head he's had than that one in a ALDS game. Like, just I feel like that the point where that narrative has gotten to the point where people forget everything he has done to this point.
Yeah, I actually said this, Mike, too, after that series. I feel as if there has been a bar that has been lowered for Aaron Judge where every, like you said, an announcer, that was his moment. Or, he had such a great October last year. And there's almost this feeling of sympathy or lowering the bar, which I think is not the way you should go about it. It's a situation where, they got to win a championship just because of the team he's on. It's tough to retire as a Yankee and be this great and not win a championship. It really, what are we talking about? Mattingly, who also had a lot of injuries. The team wasn't always very good when he was on it. This team, for all their warts, has been good and has been there in October. But yeah, I felt like there was a little bit of a lowering of the bar and almost a little bit of passive aggressiveness almost on that in that situation. But yeah, I agree with you from that point of view.
Like one of my first favorite Yankees. I didn't get into baseball until I was a little bit older, but one of my first favorite Yankee memories was the AL wildcard game against the Twins in 2017.
Yeah.
Like, my number one favorite Yankee moment I've watched is Didi hitting that three-run homer.
Yeah.
And then number two is Judge hitting the two-run shot later in the game to really, like, I mean, three-run lead's not really breaking it open, but I feel like that's a bigger moment than what he had against the Blue Jays.
Yeah, so I thought, like, that moment was overrated last year. So I don't know if you're calling it overrated, but I said it literally at the time. I was with you, and people think I'm coming from it from a bad faith, but I thought it was. I thought it was completely overrated. I felt like it was a lowering of the bar. It was like, no, this is Aaron Judge. You know what I mean? This is not, you know, some little leaguer that doesn't get a lot of hits, and we're all excited for him because he walked. I mean, this is a situation where this is one of the best players in baseball. We can't just say this is such a great moment when it was just, to me, overblown. And a lot of Yankee fans, I think, kind of got caught up in that, but it's good to hear that some of you didn't.
Yeah, like, I love Judge a lot, and I understand he can be better. I want to see them win a World Series, but I'm like, I feel like I think he knows that. I think everybody in New York knows that. We just got to wait and see until he gets back and wait for that narrative to change.
Absolutely. Now, I'm optimistic he's going to come back. I know the news today on him wasn't great. He's going to go for imaging next week. Cashman doesn't expect it to be perfect, which means he is not necessarily on the road back. But, yeah, I would say I always felt mid-August, but even if you want to push it to early September, I believe before the regular season is up that Aaron Judge will be back on the field.
Mm-hmm. As long as he's fresh.
Yeah. Now, that's another way to look at it, Mikey, and I appreciate the call. Let me get you the exact quote here, because Aaron Judge is getting reimagined. That sounds like a Disney term. You know, reimagined. Reimaged. That's why I think I said the word wrong. That's fine. You know what I mean. He's going in for more testing next week. And this is what Cashman today had to say about it. Cashman said the Yankees don't expect Aaron Judge's rib to be completely healed at this point, but they do hope he'll be able to increase activities. Quote, I don't think we're anticipating it's coming back clean. Quote, I think we're anticipating and hopeful that it's showing the healing process. So the imaging that Judge is supposed to get next week, Brian Cashman says, I don't think we anticipate it. It's coming back clean. Remember, it has to come back fully clean in order for Aaron Judge to really begin the ramp-up process, which is going to take a while because he can't do anything upper body-wise. Can't swing a bat, can't lift weights. So it's almost like Aaron Judge has to go through a full spring training once he's medically cleared and it comes back clean, the MRI, which the Yankees are not expecting next week. They're not expecting it. So figure, if it was clean next week, he'd be back early August, right around August 10th or so, August 15th. And that, according to Cashman, is off the table. So now you start looking at late August, early September. And if it gets to early September, and yeah, there's a point where you begin to sweat or they rule him out for the year. We have not reached that point. I will remain optimistic that he'll be back. The Yankees did say he would be back, you know, when this first broke, this injury. When we first got the news, remember, we went in for all those testing. They wanted to rule out thoracic outlet syndrome, which would have been season-ending. And in that statement, the message was, well, Judge will be back. Okay, well, then I'll take them at their word, and we'll wait. But it seems like the waiting is going to be a little bit longer, especially after the news we got today from Brian Cashman. And then, obviously, the test results next week, which, look, it's All-Star break. It's going to be a major story because there's not a lot going on. I think no matter what, a good, bad, or otherwise, that's going to be a big story next week when Judge goes for that. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. It is After Hours, Lugie in the Late Night here on The Fan. Let's check in with Wood in the Bronx. What's up, Wood?
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, what's up?
Well, you just put me up on that Aaron Judge. I think we could get him off the sidelines. I'm going to go chill somewhere so he don't hurt nothing. But second thing, I call about the Met being a Bronx Bomber guy. The Mets gave away $700 million to a guy who never swung a bat for you. That's kind of disrespectful to Pete Alonso on that call. Now, if you guys hear me out for a second.
Yeah, but I disagree with that because you want to improve your baseball team. And by signing Juan Soto, you're looking to improve your baseball team. You have an opportunity to sign Juan Soto. You're going to do it.
Hear me out, T. Lou. Uh-huh. But listen, if you guys are really Mets fans, doesn't it feel like they was on the cusp of doing what the Knicks did this year by getting over the hump because they was almost there but lost to the better team? In the
playoffs? But if you're almost there in 24, why wouldn't you add Juan Soto?
You had your core team. Like, y'all didn't want to give Pete Alonso the money that he bled, sweat, and tears for.
Yeah, but hold on a second. Wait a second. But Pete Alonso, he's on the Orioles right now. Do you want to guess what their record is?
But at the end of the day, I didn't want to pay that
how
man.
Many times how many times did Pete Alonso go to the playoffs with the Mets?
Say again?
How many times did Pete Alonso go to the playoffs with the Mets?
At the end of the day, he gave that 30. That was Aaron Judge. That was their Aaron Judge. He was 30 home runs a year. Mm-hmm. He was your actual slugger. And to put money in the hands of somebody who never swung a bat for you guys is really kind of disrespectful. Like, I'm asking
but it's not a matter.
Penny.
It's not a matter of respect and disrespect. It's about signing. Wood, really? You're. It's not a matter of respect or disrespect. It's a matter of when Juan Soto becomes available, you do whatever you can to sign him. And as far as what they built in 24, okay, then you bring in Juan Soto. You figure that would only build it even further. I Look, they went on a magical run in 24. Magical. And it was a great year. It was one of the most fun I've ever had as a Met fan. And I love Pete, and I love everything he did here. But you also have to look at, they didn't go to the playoffs a lot with him, and he was signed by the Orioles this offseason as a big acquisition. He's putting up the numbers he normally puts up, and the team is 43-51. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. It is After Hours. It is Tommy Lugauer, Lugie in the Late Night here on The Fan. If you're on hold, we'll get to you. If you want to join the conversation, like I said, 888-808-1019. Yankees, Mets, we'll mix in some Nick conversation later on in the show right here on The Fan.
Sometimes it feels like the news is full of things that have never happened before. And that is not exactly true. In fact, it may have happened this very week, hundreds or thousands of years ago. I'm Sally Helm, host of the podcast History This Week from the History Channel. Trade embargoes? Thomas Jefferson tried them. Rent too high? We've been arguing about that for a while. Each episode is proof. The past isn't that far away. Listen to History This Week, available now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Another good game for A.J. Ewing, who has been red hot, and Ewing got to play the infield today, which you knew he had the capability of doing. He came up sort of being an infielder, you know, sort of his younger baseball days, so it wasn't totally surprising that we saw him in the infield at some point. Now, I do think he's the center fielder of the future, which I laid out for you last night, but in case you missed it, I'll say it again. A.J. Ewing, to me, is showing the signs of a 5-2 player. You got the speed, even the power, which, when he first came up, that was sort of the feeling, hey, doesn't have a lot of home run pop, but meanwhile, he's got, what, 7 home runs, and that's in limited at-bats. You project that over a full season, we're talking 15, 18 home runs. When you look at the speed that he has, the defense, the high average, I start to see a guy that could do everything on a baseball diamond. We know how amazing Juan Soto is, and Benj, who's been up here since the beginning of this year, has really, really blossomed into, you know, in his first year, rookie year, into the makings of what feels like a really good player. So those three guys in the outfield, there's a lot to like, both presently, and there's a lot to like in the future. And it's a reason to just to be excited about the development of this team. And look, offensively, they're playing really well over the last, you know, couple games. They're scoring runs. They're putting up crooked numbers. You get Polanco back, which is a huge boost because now you could finally see this lineup with him. He basically was out the entire year. Lindor back. So all of a sudden, this Met lineup is looking really good, and they are producing like a lineup that looks really good. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Ryan joins us from Kent, Connecticut. What's up, Ryan?
Yo, what up, Tommy? Hey. I want to say After Hours with Lugie. That's my best Jericho impression. Thanks. Soto with the home run. I couldn't agree more with you last time. Don't trade Lindor.
Nope.
We don't want to see that. We see Ewing playing both out and infield. Hopefully he'll be a gem for us. But what I want to get to is what my heart's at, and I'm still focusing on, is the Knicks. And that Leon Rose, thank you. We got Jordan Clarkson. And my question for you, Tommy, is who's the sixth man now? Is it Jordan Clarkson, Deuce McBride, or Shamit? I love your opinion. Let's go, Knicks. Let's go, Mets. Have a good night, my man.
I'm going to say, just because of both ends of the floor, I'm going to go Shamit. And I'm really thrilled that all these guys are back. The only exception is Mitchell Robinson, which would have been nice too. I wanted to see this entire team back so they could defend their crown as an entire unit. But sixth man, seventh man, the eighth man, either way, this is a terrific bench. This is a deep team. What you lost with Mitchell Robinson, especially defensively, you're not going to get that with Andre Drummond, but Drummond can snatch rebounds. He's an excellent rebounder. They're a wash as far as the free throw line. Drummond, a three-point threat. You know, obviously Mitchell Robinson is not going to take a three, but Drummond can knock down some threes. I think he shot over 30% last year. So it gives you that weapon, a big man that can shoot some threes. He could grab rebounds. The one player that I think they're missing is that sort of bruiser, defensive-minded big man. You know, Diawara is going to develop in his second year. Kolick going to develop. And look, I would say one more addition here big guy defense, sort of the dirty work that you lost with Mitchell Robinson that you'd like to gain with that player? Because I think the rebounding, Drummond can give you what Mitch did. Maybe not on the offensive end because Mitch was the best in the sport, but Drummond is an excellent rebounder. He can't guard anybody, which is fine. You knock down some threes, you little hide his defense, and when you're out there and you need defense, you don't put him on the floor. That's why I would add one more big guy. But yeah, you can't say enough great things about Leon Rose, and Leon we trust. This team is basically returning almost completely whole from last year. They are the best team in the Eastern Conference. Everybody wants to jump on board with Philly. Last time I checked, they have zero depth. They have Embiid, who is basically a mummy out there on the court half the time because he can't move. Jaylen Brown is so great, yet somehow the Celtics traded him to a division rival. So I'm not buying Philly at one iota at all. They don't have the depth. Not to contend with the Knicks. The one team that I think is on par with the Knicks as far as, hey, this is going to be a team that can push them, is the Pacers. Obviously, they were a Halliburton injury away from probably winning the championship a couple years ago. They're getting Halliburton back. They have the depth. They have the bruisers. They have physical guards that could defend Brunson. They're well coached. They obviously match up well against the Knicks. That's the team. Not the Celtics or the Sixers or Miami with Giannis. Another situation. Miami, great. Giannis, first of all, I don't think he can stay healthy for a full year. So availability will be a problem. Miami got rid of most of their shooters. Powell's out of there too. They don't have a lot of depth. Yeah, great. You got Adebayo, you got Giannis, but you gave away the core of your team, which is why I didn't want the Knicks to trade for Giannis, because that's what the Knicks were going to have to do. They're going to have to give away OG or Bridge, Endor, Bridges, and Cat. And I'm not doing that. Wasn't going to do it then. Certainly wasn't going to do it now. Don't want anything to do with LeBron. Certainly sounds like he's not coming to the Knicks. This idea that, and the whole thing that Rich Paul said, well, if the Knicks had won a championship, you know, LeBron would be a Knick. Well, first of all, who the heck wants him at this rate? Honestly, I mean, enough. Really, it's 2026 and we're still doing LeBron James and the Knicks? So thankfully, that feels like a situation that's not going to happen. LeBron's either going to go to Cleveland or Miami or Golden State, and everybody's lining up for LeBron James. And this is really nothing against LeBron James. It's just enough already. You know, he didn't want to be here all those years ago. He took his talents elsewhere. Now we don't need him. And now we have the best team in the league. And he could certainly join one of these Eastern Conference teams to try to help them. Keyword is try, because no matter what team you look at outside of the Pacers, none of these teams can match the depth of the Knicks. And as far as I'm concerned, Jalen Brunson's the best player in the sport. And he's only going to get better and better and better. And think about it. Jalen Brunson won finals MVP with a wrist that needed surgery on a shooting hand. That made that performance, especially in Game 5 in the clincher, even more remarkable, even more legendary, even more historic, iconic. The fact that he was hurt, he needed surgery, and he still scored half the Knicks' points in a NBA Finals clinching game to break a 53-year drought. That's a scary dude, and it's a guy that has a chip on his shoulder, and he's going to continue. I know they kind of didn't want to go on a little bit of an apology tour here, meaning him and Josh Hart. They wanted people to apologize. Keep saying bad things about the Knicks, because I think they, especially Brunson, use it as fuel. So yeah, you got to be thrilled with the offseason. It would have been nice to have Mitch, but based on the second apron stuff, it seemed like that was more of a pipe dream, and the writing was on the wall. I mean, the week before Mitchell Robinson ended up signing with the Celtics, the first week of free agency, it was basically being reported everywhere that Mitch was going to move on. So it didn't come as I held out hope, but it didn't come out as a major, major surprise to me when it happened. I wish it wasn't the Celtics, but it is what it is. But getting Diawara, Shamet, Clarkson, GTA, this team is basically what they were last year. Instead of Mitch, you have Andre Drummond. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Max is in Hoboken. What's up, Max?
Hey, how's it going? Hey. Knicks in five. I think Deuce McBride will not be with the team next year.
I think it's there's time a path. To move on from
yeah,
him.
Yeah, there's a path they trade him. Absolutely.
Yeah, great player, but, you know, I think his time has finally come. Also, you're right. Everyone's better than Jalen Brunson until it's time to actually be better
Bingo.
Than Jalen Brunson.
Correct. Exactly. But, everybody's better than him. You're 100% right. And then the fourth quarter happens, and then he's the best player in the sport.
Exactly. And I could live the rest of my life knowing that that's the way that I saw a championship for the Knicks. So who what could be better right now? But we're talking Yankees because, you know, we're in June, July swoon.
Mm-hmm. Boone swoon.
You got to start thinking the trade deadline.
Yep.
Boone swoon always. You look at all the prospects we do have, and I think, listen, I personally believe that we probably are entering a lockout. That's my take on it. I totally agree with you. The AL has never been easier. They are atrocious. You could literally walk in almost as a barely above 500 team, it seems like. And so I believe that the Yankees have a clear path to get to the World Series. You look at your prospects such as George Lombard, Spencer Jones. What do you think it takes to get a Hunter Goodman, and do you unload to get all those people? And then, you know, the Scooble argument is interesting because you're right. You don't need a guy like that. There's so many more needs. But I see something creative if you really wanted to, because I don't know that I trust after last offseason, or not last offseason, last trade deadline, the bullpen players we got were not great. Jake Bird, Duvall have been terrible.
Yeah, Bednar's been the best one of the bunch, but the other two have been bad.
100%. You could get creative. Bring in a guy like Scooble, put it all out on the table, look at your guys such as Warren, Ryan Weathers, make them long relief players, and see if that works in the back end of your bullpen. Just a thought.
I see what you're saying. You know, by the way, I see, and I appreciate the call, I see Weathers kind of going to that sort of role anyway. But there's a lot of unknown there. If you could get like a high-leverage, high-powered reliever to pitch the eighth, pitch the seventh, I would rather go then that route than sort of experimenting. But I think I could see, look, someone's going to the pen like as far as once they get to the postseason because the rotations shrink. But I just wouldn't trade for Scooble if I'm the Yankees. As far as Goodman, yeah, if the Rockies are open to trading him, I would be all in on that if I'm the Yankees. That, to me, would be my number one target. I think the perfect fit is Luis Arraez, but the number one target, because your catcher situation is so bad. You could argue, yeah, we'll live with Ryan McMahon over here. He plays great defense, and he could pop a home run. And he, as bad as he is, nothing can be worse than Wells. He's having easily the worst season of any baseball player in history. When you factor in also the team he's playing on, and not lately, but the in general, how many runs they score, easy park to hit home runs, especially if you're a lefty. And it's just been an awful, awful year for him. I know he got going a little bit today, but I'm not expecting this to be the start of Austin Wells hitting. If it is, yeah, then the Yankees won't make a move. But I think that they are pretty much understanding that bare minimum, they're going to get a right-handed catcher. Even if they keep Wells because he's a lefty, platoon, defense, bare minimum, they're going to seek a right-handed hitting catcher. 888-808-1019, that is the phone number to call. Yankees, Mets, Knicks, all of that on the table. Got you till midnight here on The Fan, so another 3 hours to go here. It is Loogie in the late night. The phone number, 888-808-1019. Tommy Lugauer here on The Fan.
Life can feel overwhelming, but on my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, we're in it together. Every Friday brings you a new story. Listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.